Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Andita Listiarini at United Nations Headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, an Iraqi girl returns to the classroom after terrorists are driven out of her hometown. And we hear how the UN strives to incorporate more female leaders within the organization. But first, the number of women representing Colombia's judiciary remains low, and this in turn exacerbates gender inequality problems in the country. That view is expressed by Belen Sons, country representative of UN Women in Colombia. She says gender stereotypes make it extremely difficult for women to run for office in Colombia. I've been speaking to Ms. Sons about the barriers women face.
UN Women promotes the women's leadership and representation in all the branches of the state because it really generates, first of all, more equality and equity within the institutions, but also because it brings the diversity of perspectives and knowledge about how the institutions and the public life affect women. In the case of the judiciary, it is really one of the systems globally and internationally with the least number of women in high-level representation. And this affects the quality of the judiciary. Colombia is doing an effort to increase the number of women, but not only that, it's also doing an effort to ensure that the judicial work is actually responsive to gender equality and women's rights. And for that, one aspect or one indicator is increasing the number of women, but it also includes a very robust and effective justice system that ensures access to justice by women.
Can you explain the situation of women's rights in Colombia?
Colombia has made notable progress on the recognition of women's rights. It has ratified all the international conventions on women's rights, and it has developed a very robust normative and legal framework for advancing gender equality. However, the data still indicate that although there has been notable progress in terms of women political representation and participation, in terms of access by women and girls to the formal education, and even in terms of access to the employment, the gaps still remain very visibly. And I'll give you just a couple of examples. In the case of women's participation in politics, it was only in the last elections to the Congress that women reached 22% of representation in the Congress. Before that, the four years in advance, it didn't reach the 15%. So the progress is happening, but it's very slow and very uneven.
In terms of political representation, how does UN Women encourage local women to represent themselves to the public?
First of all, we've been working with the political parties through an inter-party table that exists in Colombia to ensure that parties actually apply the law.
ISIL terrorists may have attempted to destroy our way of life, according to one young Iraqi student in the liberated town of Kayara. But now they're back in the classroom. 16-year-old Nisreen and her father Tarek have been describing their ordeal living under ISIL occupation, telling the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, that they refused to be indoctrinated. ISIL fighters overran large parts of Iraq in 2014, but the government counter-offensive last year has recovered much of the territory lost. UNICEF has been working with the government, World Bank and UNESCO to implement a national education strategy for all school-age children. Matthew Wells reports.
Nisreen and friends are playing outdoors again with smiles on their faces. After months of occupation by extremist fighters from ISIL or Daesh, their town of around 15,000, some 50 miles south of Mosul, was liberated in August. She told UNICEF what it had been like living under oppressive terrorist rule.
I used to be in the sixth grade, but then ISIL destroyed our lives. Before, I was going to school and I was happy. I met my friends and studied with them. I missed them a lot.
Nisreen's father, Tarek, said everybody in the community had suffered from the oldest to the youngest.
ISIL harassed us so much, we had to leave our houses. Our town became a battlefield. The situation was bad. They humiliated us. There was no food. They restricted us in all our activities.
School is our mother, said Nisreen. It teaches us. But under ISIL, the focus moved from learning to read to learning to kill.
When we went to school under ISIL, they gave us books about weapons. The books they gave us to read were meant to destroy our way of life.
This is not education to teach children about war, said Tariq angrily. But now the fighters have gone, and the life they lived before the extremists came is taking shape once again, a return to some kind of normal. Nisreen is back in class now, and the children are learning once again. Tariq is overjoyed, but after so much violence and trauma, cautious about what the future will hold.
I am really happy. The schools are open, and they are going to learn. Under ISIL, I did not allow them to go to school. Now I want them to return to their studies.
Even outdoors on the dusty streets, books are open and children are reading. The population has grown with thousands of refugees from the fighting to liberate Mosul from ISIL terror. Here at least learning is once again at the centre of community life. Matthew Wells, United Nations.
Although the UN has made great strides towards gender equality within the organization, there are still far to go. That's according to Urania Yankopoulos, project manager and lead researcher of Her Story, an exhibition showcasing women leadership in the UN. As of June last year, she said, only 34 out of 159 senior-level positions in the UN are held by women, although that is set to change following the appointment of Antonio Guterres as Secretary General of the organization. Ms. Yankopoulos explained to me how the UN can become a real beacon of gender parity in the future.
The United Nations is an international bearer of standards. It is an organization made up of all the world's people and should therefore look like all the world's people and represent and work on behalf of all the world's people. And something that would be really instrumental and really potentially game-changing is if the UN moved from an organization that was dominated really by male leadership and male-style leadership to a more inclusive, more community-based, more dialogue, more open leadership approach, and that really starts with attaining gender balance in top leadership positions. And what this exhibition does is showcase that we've always had women, but they've always been very minimally represented. And just today, as of June 2016, out of the 159 USG and ASG, the most senior level positions in the UN, only 34 of those positions are women. And so while the UN has done great strides to incorporate more women's leadership, there's still far to go.
What kind of challenges that usually deter women to achieve that high-level positions in the UN?
Some of it comes down to just the traditions in the UN, the fact that many senior posts are only open to men and women who are able to serve in hardship areas. And so that's very difficult for women who have families and have to make the decision of, do I leave my family behind and go on this mission by myself, or do I give up on the job?
As a woman yourself, how does it make you feel to see that, you know, so many women are underrepresented in the UN?
My introduction to all of this, I was an intern actually in the Cyprus mission to the UN, and I kept hearing over and over again from senior management and from the SG himself that women were so crucial to the three pillars of UN work and were so crucial to the empowerment of the world's communities, countries, the world. And I kept hearing this always from men instead of from women. And so I decided to go and do a bit of research and figure out where these women were. And what I found, and what all these researchers, my team has found in doing this exhibition, is that women have always been there, and the women who have been there are so inspiring and have accomplished so much. We have Michelle Bachelet, the current Chilean president, the first female president of Chile, who headed UN Women. We have Gro Harlem Brundtland, who is the first female prime minister of Norway, who then became the first female director general of the World Health Organization, who started her career as a doctor. These women who take on senior leadership roles in the UN are pioneering, strong leaders.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Andita Listiarini.